It's the Fast Line on 101 ESPN with Brad Thompson and Chris Ron. Jim Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by Derek Gould, the Cardinals senior beat writer for SDLToday.com and the Post-Dispatch. DG, how you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Doing pretty well. Wanted to ask you about Carlos Martinez first and foremost. Are there certain mile markers that you know over the next couple of weeks that would indicate whether or not Carlos Martinez will start in the rotation or in the bullpen?
Oh, sure. Like within the next week or 10 days, if he's out there throwing, let's say he's going into that 40 pitches in some sim game or some kind of live BP situation, maybe goes from that to the 60, 70 range, then you'll know. Because they're going to want to make a commitment to the five guys who are going into that start. And also what we'll be telling is if Gungyeon Kim sees his innings, Miles Michaelis, well, he seems ready to go, but obviously his health has to be proved. But if either of those pitchers see a plateau in their appearances here and in their innings that they're facing hitters or throwing in these inter squad games, then that's a real clear indicator as to who they're going to go with. It'll be pretty obvious if they don't say it. They might just come right out and say it. Not always their style, but sometimes it is. But if they don't, it'll be obvious on the field as to who's getting the five innings, who's getting the six innings, and those are the guys that are going to be in the rotation.
Yeah, Derek, I've been steadfast the last couple of years with Carlos and just saying, hey, look, I believe he has more value in the rotation. But then I look at things right now. I look at the five other guys that you have, and I just look at fits in general. Like, who out of these guys could help me most in the bullpen? And the answer keeps coming up as Carlos. I just don't know, like from a fit-wise. And, Derek, you've been around this team forever. You know how they like to maneuver things and work things.
He's not calling you.
No, I'm not calling you old.
He's not calling you old.
I'm saying you're a savvy.
I think we're the same age, right, Brad?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. We're a savvy, young veteran tandem here. But, Derek, do you see like a guy being a better fit in the pen or not? Because I don't look at anybody else and say, well, that guy fits down there.
Yeah, I think a couple things certainly lead you in that direction, Brad. And one is, you know, Giovanni Gallegos is not here. John Brebbia is not here. So they're down two leading candidates to close. And Giovanni Gallegos is an unknown. Brebbia is going to miss the whole season. And that's the other part of it, is the season is 60 games. And so you're not weighing 160 innings, 180, well, preferably 180 innings of Carlos Martinez against only 60 innings. You're weighing who is going to close games in a 60-game sprint versus maybe give you 10 starts, so 50 innings. So it's a way different calculus than, say, how is he going to influence a team and how good would he be for a full season as a starter? Well, they've seen that. He was one of the best pitchers in the National League when he was healthy and when he was going and when he was an all-star as a starter. But the 60-game slate here is a way different equation for that. And then you're down two of your most reliable relievers, two of your guys who have great strikeout rates, and that has to enter into the calculus.
You know, we think we have a decent idea of how the outfield lineup is going to look at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. What do you think it's going to look like? We're talking about
Tyler
opening
O'Neal,
day.
Bader, Fowler.
Yeah, okay. So if we go opening day, that lineup to the end of the year, if you had to project 70 days from now, what do you think it looks like?
A committee of like it's just a jumble of different guys playing a lot, and whoever gets hot sticks. I think some of those guys have it in them to go on a 30-game power jag or production jag, and that's going to be enough to play a lot. If you're asking me, sort of trying to backdoor the Dylan Carlson question, I'm wise to your games.
Told you he's been around.
Yeah. You can come right out and say his name. I mean, he is going to be, you figure he's going to be a factor at some point in time. But again, the 60-game schedule really, you cannot ignore its influence when it comes to service time. If he's in the majors for 61 days this year, that's a full season off the years of control for them. So they would effectively be choosing 60 games this year being more important than 162 games of control down the road. Now, the Cardinals, to their credit, haven't always played that game, but they've always had 162 game schedule to work with. And they've always said that it's on them to then extend a guy or find a way to keep a guy. This is just a different beast at this point in time. And you throw in the fact that, you know, they have stayed true to the fact that they want to get Lane Thomas and they want to get Tyler O'Neill experience, and they want to get them a chance to see what they have in them before moving on from them. And this isn't ideal for that either. This is a short window for them to get that look. And the chance of moving them out of the lineup for lack of production is could be quicker. There could be less patience. There likely will be less patience. But in the end, they're trying to create from a group the production that they seek from three positions. And it's entirely possible that there might be one guy you would call an everyday player in the outfield at the end of the 60-game stretch, and a lot of guys that you will say contributed as they kind of play matchups, play the hot hand, seek somebody who can play. I mean, I think, you know, Bader has a lot to prove defensively. He's elite. Offensively, he's got Lane Thomas on his heels. Tyler O'Neill has a lot to prove. Power-wise, he's the leader in the group, but he's got Dylan Carlson, who's one of the most polished and refined young hitters I've seen in a long time here in St. Louis. You know, coming, and he's on his heels. Dexter Fowler is the veteran switch hitter who has to be some kind of spark, some kind of presence for the lineup, or, you know, Dylan Carlson can play right field too. So, I mean, you see how this all would mesh together, and looming over that is the decision that you do not, a business is not going to make a call based on the short run of 2020 and the novelty of this season that cost them in 2026.
Derek Gould is our guest here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Lead Cardinals beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com, at D Gould on Twitter. Derek, do you have an indication one way or another on the future of Yadi Molina and Adam Wainwright? With this being such a unique situation with these guys only playing 60 games, do you have a sense one way or another if those guys would be willing to play in St. Louis or otherwise in 2021?
They are both willing to play in 2021 as of right now. I mean, 60 games could change that. Yadier Molina, he looks remarkable in the summer camp. He's slimmed down. He's clearly run a lot. And he's motivated to prove that he can play the two more years that he wants to play. And he has said he wants to play it in St. Louis. That's his preference. He has reiterated that publicly. He has reiterated that to the team, I believe, couple times. He and I have exchanged messages here during this stoppage, and he has underscored that each time. His preference is to stay with the Cardinals. Wainwright feels the same way. I mean, he has always had that stance too, that he's year to year trying to figure out what his body tells him. Also listening to what his family tells him. He didn't expect to come back for last year, and then wasn't sure last year if he would come back for this year. He's had an opportunity here to rest a body that has had a lot of mileage on it while continuing to throw and stay sharp and looked pretty good the other day. So we'll see. The litmus test is the season, right? And then at the end of the season comes the biggest question of all, is what are the finances for the team and what are their plans with their payroll and what will this lack of revenue this year lead to those decisions? And then what it takes to bring a Wainwright back, what it takes to bring a Molina back.
Derek, it's funny, when you move to this side of things, on the media side of things, I started wondering about media things in general. And I wonder about you, because you have such great relationships with people, and you're able to get information oftentimes just from talking to guys. They end up trusting you. It would be in the dugout generally during the season or in the clubhouse, whatever it is. I'm interested from that standpoint now. The protocols are all totally different. Everything is being done currently on Zoom meetings. How is that affecting you? How is that affecting the way that you go about your business on a day-in, day-out basis?
Well, that's an interesting question. I like to think that I have the tailwind of, 17 years now covering, so that, you know, on Zoom or however it is, there's an element of, there's a recognition, there's a familiarity. There isn't always a fondness, not at all, but there's at least a recognition that comes from, I'm going to pay attention. I'm at the ballpark, I'm watching. I think most of the guys are going to take time to differentiate that, who's there watching and seeing the whole scope of things, but I can't be sure of that. So I don't know. You know, it's a good question. I find myself doing more on the phone, more via text. And those that's only going to happen with guys who know your professionalism and are willing to respond or trust you to respond. And that doesn't just here at the Cardinals. That goes as we try to cover more, you know, do stories not just on Zoom conferences with the Cardinals, but reaching out to other teams and trying to get insight from other players and stuff like that. It's a different way of going about it, but it's a good challenge. I welcome that challenge because the thing is when everybody has access to the Zooms, how do you differentiate yourself? It's not going to be with quotes. It's going to be with observation and reporting.
Derek, what's your level of confidence the season gets finished?
What's my scale?
1 to 10. 10, like it definitely we're going to have a World Series champion. 1, we're going to get through a week.
1. Well, actually, you know what? That's an interesting way to put it. Okay. So I think that my confidence is on a sliding scale. It's sort of a curve, not a straight line. Okay. So like you, we'll do a little math here, right? So gave me a linear projection of 1 to 10, but think of it more as a curve. And the likelihood of the season capsizing is greater in the opening weeks than it is later in the season. I think getting through this first week with all the testing issues, and also with players being tested for the first time, some of whom are asymptomatic and had no idea that they had the virus or never would have thought that they had the virus, so why would they be testing? That's going to be that's going to be a huge part of this, is how they get through this week. Because everybody I've talked to, you know, the experts and the doctors and the things I've read and I've tried to educate myself on, is, you know, once they establish the bubble, if they can stay within the bubble, baseball can pull this off. And it will, a bad actor or a player who freelances and goes outside the bubble might puncture it and cause the whole thing to calm down. But if they stay disciplined, if they stay committed, and players have talked a lot about this, it's on them to do it and they know it. And it's on them to use peer pressure to guide a team. But once they keep that bubble, if they keep that bubble intact, then there's a good bet that they can get through this, pending the local policies and the city and government policies. I mean, if a city says, no, you can't come here without quarantining, then a team has, like, say, you know, there's a team in, or say a team in Texas has their city say that, then what does a team do? It can't sit there for 7 days or 14 days to play a game. So how they adjust that. But once they get through this week, the odds increase. Does that make sense? And so I think I'd put it more at a 6 or 7 that they get to the end. But that will grow 2 weeks from now and probably hold steady at that 7-8 area.
That math was surprisingly not as difficult as I thought it was going to be.
I do my best.
Yeah. I drew a graph.
You got a graph? Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks right.
Yeah. But you could figure out the area under the curve using calculus. You guys ready for that?
I hate calculus.
Oh, boy. Derek, you're breaking up.
Yep. Derek, we appreciate it. That was great stuff. But it's our rule that as soon as somebody brings up math, we got to let you go.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah. I knew it. It's because I have to get to something. I played my trump card. I got it.
Uh-huh. Derek, thank you. We'll talk to you.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks. Good to talk with you.
You too. That's Derek Gould, lead Cardinals beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com at D Gould.
He's good, man.
He's great.
He works his butt off and all the things that he is talking about. Because I was really interested because a Zoom, anybody can be on it. And you know, how do you pick from that? And it's a relationship you build. It's working. It's being there. So I appreciate that.
That's Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji. I'm Anthony Stalter. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. What's trending is next.